It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. A new exhibit at the Noy Gallery marks the first large museum retrospective of Alexei Yavlinsky, an early 20th century Russian expressionist painter. If his name doesn't sound familiar, like, say, his friend and fellow painter Kandinsky, it's because he's less well-known here in the United States. But WNYC's art critic Deborah Solomon knows who he is, and she's here now to tell us about the show. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
So tell us about Yavlinsky and why the museum is putting on this show.
Yavlinsky is one of those artists who is always mentioned in art history books, along with Kandinsky and Franz Marc, and members of a movement called the Blue Rider, which flourished in Munich around 1912 and was instrumental in getting modern art off to a great start. You've probably seen them. You haven't seen a lot because this is the first retrospective, but when you see one, it is very recognizable. It often shows a big head done in bold, contrasting, high-keyed colors and simplified in a way that is very powerful. And it's sort of what a lot of people think modern art should look like. Imagine a simplified head.
Sort of like a Van Gogh?
Well, it's interesting. He was very influenced by Van Gogh. When you look at this show, you can see the artist who he was grabbing from and learning from. And he goes through one period when he is borrowing Van Gogh's thick, thrusting brushwork. He also turns to Matisse for the contrasting planes of bright color. He turns to Gauguin for his heavy black outlines, and it takes him a while to find himself. Here we have this Russian artist. He comes to Munich, okay? The minute he gets to Munich, it's amazing. He breathes that air, and he abandons the fussiness of his realist past and becomes a modern artist. But you don't know exactly where he's going. We watch him experiment with the work of other masters, and then eventually he becomes himself.
Yeah, because later in life, right, Yavlinsky began painting over and over a series of works known as Mystical Heads, and there's another one called Savior's Faces. What do these look like, and what do you think he was trying to do?
Okay, the Noy Gallery brings together a very large and unprecedented selection of paintings of heads. Now, they're not portraits, because portraits presumably say something about the sitter and are interior and psychological. These are heads. And he strips away all the facial detail. You're left with just slits for eyes, a slit for a mouth, and they almost resemble Mondrian geometric abstractions. And the sad part is that when he became most himself, he became the least interesting. I do think that the heads are somewhat repetitive, and they're done in pretty candy colors, but they don't really advance form the way his early work did. What's really interesting is that he's moving forward at the beginning of the show, but then suddenly he retreats, you feel like, to his Russian origins, and it's almost like he's painting Russian icons, which, of course, were religious paintings with famous red and gold contrast. And he retreats into some kind of very traditional religious painting toward the end.
And then talk about the end of his life. It turned a bit tragic, didn't it?
It did. He suffered from crippling arthritis after 1937, couldn't really work anymore, stayed home in bed, and painted what he called his meditations, which were small paintings in which the face, the human face, is reduced to a cross. So they're openly religious paintings that feel very devoid of content. I had never seen them before. They're shown in a chapel-like gallery where Bach is being piped in. It's a very soothing place to be. I don't know that it makes us think of him as a larger figure, art historically, but he's certainly a very poignant figure.
So after seeing the show, why do you think he isn't so well-known, at least in this country?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is he simply was not the innovator that Kandinsky and Franz Marc was. But what's also interesting is that Munich, during this period, had a really important art scene that could match Paris in terms of innovation. And we don't know as much about the Munich art scene. It hasn't been romanticized the way Paris at the turn of the century has been, which, of course, is famous for Montmartre, Montparnasse, and artists living in garrets and café life, whereas Munich never really had that kind of mythology around it. And I think that this show brings important attention to Munich in its heyday.
Alexei Yavlinsky at the Noy Gallery runs through May 29th. Deborah Solomon is WNYC's art critic and the author of several books on American art. Deborah, thank you.
Thank you, Richard.